night, everybody. Good afternoon. I'm going to go ahead and call together the Zone 3 Advisory Committee to order. Agenda for Thursday, July 21st, 2022. Can we get a roll call, please?
Sure. Member Barnidge? Member Rushing?
Yes.
Member Guthrie?
Here.
Member Gibson?
Present.
Member Hageman? Alternate Ikeda?
Here.
And Member Riley?
All right. Thank you very much. Looking out in the audience, do we have any public comment today? Seeing none, I'm going to move on to our third agenda item, officer rotations. Committee chair rotating from member at large to City of Aurora Grande representative, and committee vice chair rotating from City of Aurora Grande to City of Grover Beach representative.
Now, do we have to have a motion for that? I don't believe so.
I don't believe so. Okay. I looked at the meeting from the 2 years ago, and there was none.
All right.
But there was a mention of who those members were, if we have.
Oh, okay. So, let's see, committee chair. Okay, so the chair will now be Kristen Barnidge, and the vice chair will now be Ron Riley. Right. Or, sorry, Daniel Rushing. Sorry.
Hello.
I went the wrong way.
Any thoughts or comments on that?
No, good luck.
Well, thank you very much. All right. Moving on to number four, approval of meeting minutes. Excuse me, got tongue-tied there. Approval of meeting minutes, last meeting May 19th, 2022. Does anyone have any comments, changes, questions regarding the May 19 meeting minutes?
I move to approve. I second.
Oh, fair enough. Is that a roll call?
Roll call.
All in favor.
Yeah. All in favor? Just a voice vote?
Yep.
There we go. All in favor? Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, item number five, operations reports.
All right, let me grab that for you. All right, the current Lopez information is the capacity is 25.9%. The elevation is 463 feet. Current storage is 12,790 acre feet. Rainfall since last July was 12.94 inches. The state water flow currently is 2.3 MGD. The plant flow is 2.75 MGD, and our current downstream release is 1.9 MGD.
Could you do me a favor, and what was the acre feet? I was getting my pen out.
Yeah, sure thing. The current storage is 12,790 acre feet.
Is the, it's 25.9 right now.
Correct.
Is your prediction about 11%?
So let me
remain the same?
Say that again. Is the prediction for what?
Didn't you have one for October or something?
Oh, yes. Yeah, let me get that on the screen here.
I thought it was 11.
So because of current conservation and how our graph calculates that projection. We foresaw it getting pushed out a little bit, and it definitely did. So originally we were looking at October, and now currently you can see we're looking at the end of November. And you can see how the curve's starting to kind of flatten out in the green, and that's we were on a pretty steep decline before, but I think the LRP efforts and conservation efforts are starting to show, as well as the reduction in downstream releases. So I think we'll likely see that push back a little further into December, maybe even January, before we hit the 10,000 acre feet.
Okay.
If memory serves, at the last meeting, we'd pushed back by 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The last one, right? So we've definitely...
Yeah, we're definitely... The conservation is definitely proving that it's working.
Well, that's encouraging.
Yep.
Any other comments, questions?
No, not for me.
Right. Okay. And then, what was that? Another item on here. So that was attachment 2. And then we'll move on to attachment 3 here. So you'll find two operations reports in your packet tonight. One has to do with a future item, item 8A. However, I wanted to present them both at the same time. So this current one is the 10% reduction that we're currently under for the LRRP. So if you look at the main entitlements on the far second to left column, you'll see AG is 2,061 acre feet. That is their reduction by 10%. The next one in your packet is the 20% reduction, which we will speak about a little later. The TAC wanted to retroactively go to the 20% reduction, even though we haven't hit the 10,000 acre foot trigger, just to be proactive and just continue to conserve at this point. Did you guys have any questions on the monthly operations reports?
No.
Okay. No, I'll hold on our action item for that.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, that's all for operations reports?
Yeah, and I think, did I have another one on here? Oh, that's for the next one. Yep, that is all.
All right, any other thoughts or comments?
No. At one time you used to give a, of course it's just a forecast, but it was kind of like a long-range weather report.
Oh, so what we kind of did, so you'll find that on the reservoir projection chart. What we've started doing is that the blue is what our future rainfall is looking like, and you'll find that the let's see, which one is it? The storage projection in red is the predictor if you get that amount of rainfall. So that's what we're anticipating coming into this next winter, which is not great. So we're hoping that we get definitely more rain than what's so far predicted at this point.
And that blue line is just the historical thing? I mean,
The blue rainfall lines, those are from a long-range weather forecast. I my staff member gets it. I think it's like a combination of like a farmer's almanac and a couple other, you know, type of reports. So, yeah.
Is that still pretty accurate, the farmer's almanac? I mean, I know in the past it has, but it seems like everything's been kind of odd.
Yeah.
Is that still accurate?
I'll have to talk to her more about that, because I know that we used to get it from a weather webpage that was called like Long Range Weather, but it proved that it seemed like it wasn't very accurate, or that it wasn't kind of following the trends as best as we thought it should.
Yeah.
So we've been kind of looking at some other forecasting models, because it's actually really hard to find anybody that actually forecasts out like this.
It's like, so it may rain.
Yeah, right, right.
So, yeah, no, I get it.
So, yeah. So, yeah, so to answer your question, that's kind of where we're showing it now. Instead of giving, like, a weather report, we're kind of just depicting it on here. So, and then we did do a little comparative analysis on what gives us like the biggest bumps in the reservoir, like back last year, I believe it was, that got us up above the 20,000 acre feet. We actually saw, I think it was about 18 inches of cumulative rainfall over about a 2 month period is what actually got us to bump up into that, you know, it appreciated by like 10,000 acre feet at that point. So if we stay below these, you know, just like it's showing in the, you know, 2 to 5 inches of rain, you know, consecutively month after month, it just soaks in too much. So we really just need that, you know, continuous rainfall over a good stretch of time. So,
like 5 years?
Yeah, yeah.
Sorry.
One could hope.
Anything else? All right, thank you. Moving on to item 6, information items.
Yeah, so what I wanted to talk about for A, it's conservation and LRRP entitlement reductions. One, I just wanted to say, I think that it's proof in the graph that the conservation efforts are working, and I just wanted to, you know, since this is a televised thing, I just wanted to say, continue to conserve, do your, you know, all the agencies do your best to, you know, get the message out there. You know, and part of this I wanted to present, so this is the intake elevation versus storage. This is really important. So now that the Davis-Gronsky Act has, we've fulfilled our obligations is no longer, we don't have to abide by it anymore. The debt's been paid. our Deadpool is now the lowest intake, which is intake 7. So at that level, we only have about 1,750 acre feet at that elevation. And I just think that this is important. As we go down, you can see where our intakes are and what the storage is at those locations. I think our water quality is going to start to take a little bit of a hit as we lose more and more water in the reservoir, just due to, you know, the taste of, you know, dying fish and algae as the water temperature heats up. And
That sounds lovely.
It paints a grim picture, but you know, we'll do our best with our powder activated carbon to, you know, treat for taste and odor issues. But I think that if we do get down below that 10,000 acre feet, I think that that agencies we serve will start to notice some like taste and odor issues. So.
And color issues as well, or just?
You know, the potentially, you know, the flocculation process in, at the plant is really, really good. I think that we can probably get a lot of the particulate matter out, so I don't think the color should be too terrible, but definitely I think you might end up with some taste and odor. So.
You know what's funny, not funny, is that when we use the groundwater, like in August or something, we always mix it with a little Lopez, because when the groundwater's low, it's got that mineral. So you're going to mix it with Lopez? We're going to get some complaints.
Yeah, you might. And that's kind of, I kind of wanted to bring it up just because and then there has been, so everyone's done a really good job on conservation. I think if you look at the numbers and the reduction to entitlement, currently we're, you know, a few months into the new water year, and where everyone's sitting, and I could go back to the slide, this one, you can see that everyone's usage is, you know, we're about, you know, a quarter of the way through the year at this report, right? April, May, June, yeah. So everyone's doing okay with their percent total that they're taking, and I just wanted to, you know, kind of give everybody a kudos and say good job doing that. But as we reduce to the, if you guys endorse it today, moving to the 20% reductions, did I go to the wrong one? Let's see. I might have attached the wrong one.
Yeah.
Those numbers don't change, and I apologize. I'll have to give you guys the updated one. You'll notice that the percentage, you know, will definitely jump up, and I just want to say if we do endorse that today, just keep an eye on those numbers, and I know you guys can only stress conservation as much as you can. So
the 10% hasn't been achieved, right? Is that what you said?
We have.
Okay, good.
So everyone's doing a really good job currently under the 10% reductions.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So really what you want to compare the total number to from April to present at the very far right side. And people taking state water, it's kind of, you'd have to look at the far right column and kind of look at what your state water is and stuff. Mm-hmm. But you can just pretty much follow that and say, well, if we're 25% of the way into the water year, that number shouldn't be any greater than 25 or you're not conserving enough. So so it's something to keep an eye on.
Any other questions?
Okay. And then I did not include it in the packet, but it is available online, and it is in the packet that I emailed you, the cloud seeding report. So if anyone from the public wants to see this report, they can go to the Zone 3 webpage under today's meeting, and the meeting packet's there. This report is there. This is I think you guys brought it up at the last meeting about getting the report for the cloud seeding. This is the end of the season report. So what this does is it just tells you what storms we seeded, how many flares we used. It's just like a cumulative report just to say this is what we did. This report does not quantify what our consultant feels we got by seeding. That comes later. There's a lot of analysis that goes into it. They have to look at a bunch of storm systems throughout the state, and there's a really big formula to it, and so we likely won't see that report for another couple of months. When it is available, I will present it to you guys, but I just wanted to make it clear that this report is what we did, not what we're getting, you know, for increased rainfall. So I will get that to you when it's available.
There's a lot of great data and background here, though.
If anybody wants to know all about cloud seeding, this is a great report, and I definitely stress our consultant, they're great. They'll answer all the questions. If there's any reporters that want to know anything, North American, they're always open to talking to them. They also, they love talking to the public and explaining how this works. So if anybody has any questions or gets referred or someone from the public calls in to you guys and you want more information, they can call the consultant directly and talk to them if they want. So.
So in the fall, we'll receive how much we actually did.
Correct.
Okay,
correct.
Good.
Yeah, and if you remember from last year, I don't quote me on the number, but it was somewhere around, I think, 1,000 acre feet is what they thought we got by seeding. And just I just want to say, remember, it's if we don't have the storms to seed, we're not going to get a whole lot of, you know, rainfall, increased rainfall. And so I don't want it to be discouraging because, like, when you read this report, you can see that we seeded, I can't remember how many times it was.
Seven times or something like that.
It's not a lot because the storm systems just weren't there. So they can't make the storms. They can just squeeze more water out of the storm. So.
Okay. Any other questions?
No. That report will have kind of like the bang for our buck type thing.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll have to go back and look at the last one that they provided to us to kind of see the format. But yeah, it speaks to what they think the weather systems would have given us and then what we actually got. I don't think they put a price to it or anything, but we, you know, if you wanted to, we can definitely say this is what the cost of acre foot is currently. And this is probably what, you know, we spent. You know, we know what we paid for their contract with North American, so we could kind of price that out, you know.
Do they do their own reports?
They do, yeah.
Is there any objectivity, like somebody looking at it saying, this looks good? Okay, I've been in business for a long time, and I know sometimes things can be subjective. This is how they make a living. So I'm assuming they're using hard and fast studies and data, but... you know, because I was on that fence with the cloud seeding. I didn't see Santa Barbara, when they got more rain when they were seeding, we got more rain without seeding because the system, you know what I mean,
right.
Delivered a lot of rain. So
right.
I'd like to really see concrete, something that there can show us that's
okay.
Definitive.
Yeah.
They can. You know, this is all a guessing game, too. I don't want to hold them.
Right,
you know,
right.
Fair standard.
The science seems sound when you read the report. I've reviewed it and I've edited their reports as well. It seems legitimate in my opinion. We also, Desiree, who works for me, she actually compared the blue rainfall projections to the seeding events.
Yes.
And actually found that on the storms that we did seed, We got more rainfall during those months than the predicted weather said we would.
Okay.
And on the months that we didn't seed,
right.
It was very, it was appreciable to what the forecast said.
Got it. Okay.
So.
At the very least, it's a really good correlation.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions on cloud seeding?
All right, item D under 6 is the contract changes. This is just a verbal update today. I just wanted to let you guys know. So the draft final document went out to all your agencies, and I just wanted to bring up today that we would like to take it to the Board of Supervisors. They're going to approve it first, and then the contract would then go to all your councils after that. And we are hoping to have you guys endorse that at a special advisory committee meeting either next week or the week after. I'm still trying to see if we can get all the pieces together. And then as soon as I do, I will notify you guys of a special meeting. And you guys would then be endorsing that for to go to the Board of Supervisors for approval. And so I just want to say, if your agencies have been looking at the document, it would be great if you guys can get an email back to Jill Ogren saying we approve, no comments, you know, or if you do have some minimal comments or something that need taken care of, definitely, you know, tell us what they are. But we need to keep it moving. And I believe I think it was Grover Beach and AG, I think, are the only two that we haven't heard from yet.
Oh.
So. So, or sorry, Pismo. Sorry,
is it was Pismo. Is that the one you haven't?
It was Pismo Beach and Grover Beach. Yeah.
We unscratched.
So.
Okay. Any questions, comments? All right, thank you. All right, moving on to item 7, capital projects update.
All right, so current capital projects. So the Tesla battery storage, we still have no change from the last time. We're just waiting for a permit to operate through PG&E. John Wallace did a really good job putting me in contact with a couple of PG&E representatives that we spoke to, and I did some back and forth with Tesla and PG&E over the issue. Turns out it's a little more complicated than we thought as far as getting that permit, but PG&E's these kinds of projects, but as soon as we have that permit to operate, we can turn the thing on and start saving some money. So I know there's been some questions as well, we're losing money that the thing's not on, but the you know, we don't really, the clock doesn't really start until we start operating the thing. So it's like you'll realize the savings, the 20-year savings or the 10-year savings from the moment it starts, but I understand that like you obviously want to start saving money now, not 6 months from now, but it will come. It's installed, it's ready to go. We just need our permit. So the spillway assessment and investigation, DSOD just responded back to our work plan. So we have some comments to work through with them. We're meeting with the consultant here on the 27th and DSOD to go over those comments to the work plan. And hopefully once they approve that, we'll get our permit and we can start doing some more testing up on the spillway. Part of this will be non-destructive and destructive testing, doing like core samples and x-ray and stuff like that. So the geotechnical testing and seismic alternative study of the terminal reservoir dam, we're still negotiating the task one items. Those are specifically the geotechnical drilling plan with DSOD. So we're just trying to determine how many holes do they want us to drill and where, and then what kind of items they want to see in the report once we actually get the holes drilled. So the Lopez Water Treatment Plant safety upgrades, there's been no movement on this one for a while, and it's actually due to no quoting. We've had multiple companies come out and look, and for whatever reason, no one will even give us a quote for it. We're looking at doing a lifeline system for when they're changing out the membranes in the membrane racks, and because they have to get up on the racks, and we just don't, it's a fall issue, and so we're trying to get someone to give us a quote for lifeline systems, but at this point, we've got nobody quoted at this point, so we're still working on it, though. The cathodic protection repair project, we currently have the 95% drawing set. We're hoping to have the 100% actually this week. We're in the process of preparing the bid docs and submitted all our encroachment permit applications. The only change that we've had to the process is that we had one testing location that we was in Caltrans right-of-way, and due to timing constraints and the backlog that they have, we've actually pulled that testing station from the list, and we'll come back and do it after the fact. It's something that our operations staff can probably do on their own, but we didn't want to wait another 6 months for Caltrans to get us a permit for it. So, and it's not critical to the project, it just gives us another location to test at future dates. So, the equipment storage building, we had a bid opening on the 14th. All the bids were over budget. So we are going to discuss this one with our operations staff to see if there's any alternatives to what we can do out there. We were gonna do like a permanent just shade structure. We might move to maybe one of those like sail type awnings, because all we're trying to do is just keep the sun off the equipment and some of the materials, so it doesn't need to be some substantial building, just needs to create some shade. So, and everything came in and above the $300,000 mark. So The CO2 injection system, when I wrote this, there was no change, but currently we have about a 50% drawing set currently for the construction of the equipment pad. The PO's been cut for the actual CO2 injection system, so we are set as far as the tank and the hardware goes. Now we're going to have a contractor come in and pour a pad and do all the electrical and the injection point piping and stuff. So we have about 50% plans currently for that. And then the sludge bed curtain wall, it was originally an unbudgeted item, but for 22-23 it is a budgeted item. And I have a new staff member starting August 1st, and this will be one of his projects that he's going to start working on. So that concludes the update. Any questions?
I think I missed. When do you think the Tesla battery issue when the permit might happen?
Jude, I haven't gotten an update on that. PG&E's, they just keep telling us how backlogged they are. So I'm guessing about another 3 to 4 months before we have that permit to operate.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Anything else? All right, thank you.
No.
All right, moving on to item 8, action items with no subsequent board of supervisors action required. We're talking about an endorsement for an entitlement reductions of 20% retroactive to April 1st, 2022.
Let me see if I have that updated one that we can put. So here is the 20% reduction. If you guys endorse this today, you can see that the entitlements now go, AG, for example, goes down to 1832 from the, I think it was 2061. So, and then you can see, so their usage would bump from 17% to 19.3%. So they're really close to that 20% number, which is fine because they're, we're, only a couple months into the water year, so we just wanted to be below 25%, I guess, next month. So,
and I can sort of see it, but
yeah,
You either zoom in a little bit? That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, do you want the entitlement numbers?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
So, and I should just say that the TAC really wanted this. I guess last time we were in the LRRP, we waited a little bit and didn't go right to the 20%. We were still waiting for the 10,000 acre foot trigger. However, we did go into the LRRP before we hit the 15,000 to start the 10%. And the TAC kind of across the boards kind of agrees that we probably should have been a little more proactive and just, started that 10% reduction a little sooner. Just so we could start really stressing conservation. So,
I could support the 20%.
Did have a question just for the future a little bit at the same time too. I'm glad that you noted from your comments where basically we're talking about a year ago, this meeting was where we talked about what the TAC had a conversation about implementing that 10% reduction in advance of what the LRRP would have put in place. That's correct, right?
Correct.
And we're essentially doing the same thing at this point for the 10,000 acre feet mandates.
Yep.
I guess my question and caution for the future is if we're in this situation next August, the next one is a really, really big pill. That our municipalities are going to need a little bit more time to get behind. At 35% at the 5,000 acre foot level, that's a huge thing. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody here was I totally support this 20% now, but we're going to have some serious conversations before 35. So I just wanted to get that out there.
Yep. And the county is working on a transfer process and agreement for state water.
Okay.
So we're trying to bring 1,000 acre feet of it's extra, if you will, state water down the pipeline. It's a deal that we're working out with the Central Coast Water Authority. So we would give them 1,000 acre feet of our stored state water up at San Luis Reservoir for capacity. So, and what that allows us to do is bring an extra 1,000 acre feet down the pipeline that we normally wouldn't be able to do. And so, but we're working on a process because it's I think, I can't remember if it's an exchange or a transfer under the state waters definition, but it would allow us to then like wheel that water to non-state water subcontractors on the Zone 3 system. So we'd actually be delivering the water to like the Zone 3 system, and at that point it would kind of not be state water anymore.
So Grover Beach would potentially have state water, but we wouldn't be calling it state water.
Correct.
It would be Lopez
water. It would be Zone 3
water. Okay.
Or district water at that point. And so, but there will be a like a state water cost, because obviously state water is quite a bit more expensive. Yeah. So we're still working on that process, but that is kind of one of the contingencies that we're working towards. So that we're just, you know, if there's no water in Lopez, what do you do? And so we're trying to figure that out. So. Okay.
Any other questions, comments?
No, I'm on the tax, so I'm in favor of the 20%.
I am okay. Too, by the way.
Ms. Gibson, was that a motion you were starting?
Yes, so moved.
Second.
All right. Is that a roll call?
Yep. Member Barnich? Member Rushing?
Yes.
Member Guthrie?
Yes.
Member Gibson?
Yes.
Member Hageman? Member Ikeda?
Yes.
Member Riley? All right. And we do have a quorum tonight with four, motion passed.
Okay, great, thank you.
Good.
Yep. We have no action items under item number 9 today. Shall we move on to item 10, future agenda items?
Sure. So this is kind of up to you guys, actually. So is there any future agenda items that you would like to see? One item that Member Rushing and I were discussing earlier was due to the increase in people coming down with COVID, do you guys want to consider having any of the next few meetings a virtual meeting?
I only brought it up because we were one person away today from not having a quorum. And we are planning a special meeting in a couple of weeks where we could bring it to a vote for the September meeting.
The special meeting,
would be in person still.
Would that be in person? That would be appropriate.
We would still need to vote on it, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And we can't vote on it today.
Yeah. Well, no, I meant, can we vote on Zoom for the special meeting?
Yes, we can. We need to vote to actually change to a virtual meeting again.
But that just for that one meeting, though, right?
That would be our discussion, I imagine.
Yeah, and I need to speak with county council about that. Yeah. So I.
How many people were out with COVID tonight?
Just the one.
Yeah.
But, and this is a conversation. I'd love for all of us to have this conversation while we have a chance at our special meeting.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see where it goes, and maybe everything is a whole lot different. But the number of people I know directly and tangentially that are not incredibly sick right now, but are in quarantine,
it's just that I guess we could maybe gauge it before. I mean, because it's changing. It's not. Yeah. I'm not as worried in a small group.
Yeah.
That's.
I'm more worried about quorum.
Yeah.
Yeah, and part of the problem, I believe, I do remember, and Francesca brought it up too, is that you can vote virtually. However, you have to be pre-designate part of the Brown Act. You know, you would have to pre-designate where you are going to be physically located, and it has to be a public space.
I'm at the restaurant on the corner of Fifth.
Yeah, or in council chambers, you know, or whatever, you know, that had to be accessible by the public. So if you had COVID, it kind of, you know.
That's kind of hard to do unless you're doing it from a hospital.
Right.
That was not perfect.
So,
my apologies.
But I can get some clarification from county council what that looks like. Okay. And if we want to discuss it at the special meeting, we can.
It's just a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? Maybe everything is a whole lot better in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And this is a moot point, and we could just move on from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in-person meetings are much more effective.
Oh, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
But I think it's a good conversation to have. You never know what's lurking in the, you know, petri dishes of America. So we might want to just have that information and store it for...
At the very least, this gives us an option. Well, thank you. Any other suggestions for future agenda items?
No. No, we were just, this is weird, but we were, before we went on the air, we were all just discussing drastic measures. I don't know where that fits in here, but you were talking about catching the water from the fog, you know, I mean, just...
Fog catchers.
So, I mean, I think this came up at the TAC, too, that things are getting to that drastic point. I mean, when we start having to, when the late, hopefully it never does, but gets to the point where we can't gravity feed water out of the lake, it's going to really be drastic. So I don't know, maybe someone in the public that's listening has got some idea that would have been considered crazy 10 years ago, but not so crazy anymore.
And we are going to start looking at barge costs to barge and pump. So, you know, once we get down to that 1,750 acre feet, you know, we can't get water into the intakes at that point. So then we'd have to put like a barge in that last little section and pump it into the intakes. And then we also have, it's not really a contingency, but, you know, there is another, you know, I think it's about 900 acre feet in the terminal reservoir. Okay. So,
yeah. Kachuma has one that they used years ago.
Okay.
I never saw it, but
yeah,
it was in the,
that's good to know.
It was in the newspaper.
Okay. I'll talk to Matthew Scrudato in Santa Barbara County about that one.
Has fog catchers ever been discussed?
You know, they haven't. I've seen it in the news a couple of times. I mean, we can look at that. I think the biggest thing currently is like a potential regional desal, you know, plant, but that could be years in the making, I'm sure.
Yeah,
but
it's not going to solve our meeting water.
Right.
Is that something that we as an entity would look at, and is that something that's appropriate? Because I'm very interested.
In the fog?
Catcher type? Okay. Thinking outside the box, you know, like what, even just for individual residents to conserve or, for, you know, anything that we can do to
collect rainwater, stormwater.
I have a 5-gallon bucket in my shower.
You know, there's those little things do help, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
There's that little rhyme.
Just saying, 5 gallons a day. Everybody does it.
So, yeah, at the moment, I think just conservation, so as much as we can.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else on this item? Okay. Item 11, any additional comments from the committee today?
No.
And then I will notify you guys and make it public what the special meeting date and time is and location. I'll probably reach out to your agencies and see if anybody is fine hosting that that meeting. Otherwise, our next scheduled meeting is September 15th at 6:30 at the City of Grover Beach's Council Chambers.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else, I'll move for adjournment. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. That was short and sweet.
Yep. I did not realize these meetings were until my statement.
What?
He was just telling you they're not like live streams.
Oh, yeah, it's audio.
So, they're not?
There's video.
He said they posted
it
all.
Is there?